I'd like to welcome Carol Marock to the Caregiver Smile Summit. She's Chief Public Affairs Officer for SeniorCare.com. She's an aging alone expert, a speaker, and a writer. After caring for her parents, she realized she would have no one to depend on for her support as she aged. So then she launched Elder Orphan Facebook Group and builds public awareness on the challenges and needed services for older adults who age alone. It's a topic we don't often think of. Carol earned a Fundamentals of Gerontology Certificate from USC Davis School of Gerontology and advocates on behalf of older adults and family caregivers. Carol, welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you, Anthony. I'm so glad to be here. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I appreciate you being part of it. So it wasn't until I really had more of an in-depth conversation with you that I realized that this was a huge issue. So why don't you tell our viewers a little bit about how big an issue this is in the U.S. and what kind of a segment of individuals fall into this category?
Absolutely. Even though I'm aging alone, I never knew that it was a growing segment of our senior population. It wasn't until after my parents' death, after I really committed my time and energy to helping them through their elder care issues. And once they passed on, I realized, oh my gosh, who's going to do that for me? Because I have no children, and nor am I married or have a partner. So I literally live alone, and I'm aging alone. That was back in my mid-50s, and now I'm in my mid-60s. And it hit me hard that what will happen to me once I start getting chronic illnesses, which almost is inevitable because as we live longer, you know, our bodies start to decline. And unfortunately, we do incur some medical conditions. So my mom lived with congestive heart failure, and my dad with Alzheimer's. So the chances of me living a fully healthy life till I'm well into my 80s probably is a little doubtful. So I have to start thinking about how can I best take care of myself as I get older. And not only for myself, but the U.S. Census tells us that 19% of women between the ages of 40 and 45 have no children. And that's a rise of about 9% from 1980. So there's quite a few of us. And the U.S. Census also tells us that at least 27% and growing of the population 65 and older live alone throughout the U.S.
Well, that's some staggering statistics. It also shows that younger people, you know, we also know that 25% of family caregivers are millennials. And so this summit really has relevance for a lot of people, not just the traditional people we think of, which is our boomers and elders. Younger folks need to be paying attention. So you said when you were in your 50s, you started realizing, you know, kind of how it was going to impact you. What did you start doing early on, and how has that progressed over the maybe 10 years or so that you've kind of embraced this topic? What have you done for yourself, and then what do you recommend individuals do to prepare to age, you know, alone at home?
Well, I've done quite a bit, actually, Anthony, and I think the first place to start is get your legal docs in order and to select a healthcare proxy, someone who you can trust that will carry out your medical issues if you should become incapacitated and you can no longer take care of yourself. I would say that's number one. But as you know, as you select that person, things can change down the road. So always reevaluate your situation, and you may have to change your legal docs. But in addition to that, the next thing is to evaluate your circumstances and your medical conditions. How are you living right now? Are you taking the best care of yourself? Are you physically active? Are you eating healthy foods? Are you sitting around watching TV all day? Are you out and about making friends? It's so important for us to make friendship and make connections. You know, it's not so much about having a friend to have a conversation with on the phone, which is important, but it's more that you want to surround yourself and create friends and support so that you have like a family that's around you. Because childless men and women have the highest rates of depression and also loneliness. So it's so important to create a lifestyle that you can live well into your 70s and 80s. For example, I have currently moved from a suburbia into a highly urban area. And I did that with a lot of thought because I love walking, I love staying active. So I make it my area and my lifestyle to maintain my fitness and to walk while I'm running errands, for example. So if in case I can't drive or I lose my capacity to drive, I can at least walk down the street to get my groceries, right? So it's really just planning ahead and evaluating, where are you today? Will you be able to drive? Who are you surrounding yourself with? And are where you live right now, is it truly accessible to transportation? And can you afford it down the road?
Right. Okay. And, you know, what are some of the, you know, I guess at some point, not everybody can do this age, you know, at home alone. So what are some of the risks involved for people who live alone and grow older?
Oh, well, like I say, you know, people without family, nearby family, have the highest risk of loneliness. And we know what loneliness can do to cognitive decline. Also, lack of social support feeds into and has higher rates of physical and psychosocial health. And so it's really about being less lonely and having social support, because social support and being lonely can also affect higher rates of chronic illnesses, as well as, higher rates of mortality. So, and it's cognitive decline that can really put us in a big, you know, quandary and really facilitate physical and mental decline. Because once we start cognitively declining, we don't take very good care of ourselves. We may even forget to eat or even to cook.
Right. So we've kind of covered this idea of your physical health, because you mm-hmm. obviously need to be able to get around and, you know, avoid especially trips and falls in the home and those types of things. Your mental health, yes. You know, which you talked about with the depression and social support and things like that. Did you, when you moved, consciously move into any type of environment where the physical layout was suited for aging alone?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I moved from a two-story home into a flat, which is a one-bedroom condo in a high-rise that I don't have to walk up steps. I mean, I still do somewhat, but not as much as I used to. So I have an elevator. So I really planned for, aging in place. Unfortunately, we don't, our builders and our designers and architects aren't really designing homes, unfortunately, at this time with the universal design concept. And we really need to start changing that because it's harder for people, especially if they become immobile, if they're in a wheelchair, it's hard to get through the smaller doors and hallways. So, you know, you really have to think about how mobile are you now while you're still physically active. And do you have the potential, will your chronic illnesses affect your mobility down the road? And also the cognitive, it's so important to keep your brain active as well. I see so many of my friends and even family members who are aging alone, and they're starting to have cognitive decline because they retired early. They don't keep their brains active. They don't socialize as much. And unfortunately, that really affects how we start, how our brain is able to grow and to stay active.
Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say you can kind of bring a horse to water in terms of kind of preaching these messages. But what has communities started? I mean, like, for example, socialization. I would even imagine that you could point to people who are in assisted living who you could label as aging alone because maybe they coop themselves up in their apartment and they don't participate and things like that. So, you know, how do you engage the community, I guess, to kind of pry these people out? I mean, I could look at my own mother-in-law who stays very active on her own. But, you know, other than family who are not around most of the week, she you know, doesn't get much socialization and despite our best efforts, doesn't want to move into an assisted living. So do you have any tips or anything about how the community can get involved? I know in the summit, we're talking about naturally occurring retirement communities where the services spring up and that kind of thing. But I think it's even more beyond that in terms of, you know, how do you really support these folks who are, you know, all alone by themselves? What have you been seeing?
You know, that's a good question. And unfortunately, the folks that do want to stay at home and become isolated, because I know someone personally who does that, and it's like pulling teeth to get them out of their home. But I try really hard. As a matter of fact, in our Elder Orphan Facebook group, I'm starting here in Dallas, I'm starting a local group. And I think is, you know, we try to build as much enthusiasm as to stay socially connected, even if it's just by phone. But if you live in a co-housing situation, or if you live in a community, I think it helps when you have other residents inviting you to participate. And not so much forcing you to participate in an activity or to join them for a dinner or lunch or what have you. But sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone and begin to focus on those individuals that seem to isolate. As a matter of fact, I have a lady living here in my building. She's probably close to 80 years old, and I see her spending a lot of time alone. And what I enjoy watching are other residents making a huge effort to engage with her when she is downstairs having coffee. And it may not be for a long time, and we may not sit with her for more than 5 to 10 minutes, but I can guarantee you that gets her to open up. It just, you can see her body starting to breathe and to relax. So the residents and other members who might be living around you, you know, I want to just really encourage you to pick out those that seem to isolate and engage them, even if it's in a minute, like a minute's worth of conversation. You're just opening them up, you know, to accepting people into their lives, even if it's for a minute. Believe me, it'll grow over time.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, people need to realize, too, that some of these folks, because of, you know, these chronic conditions, perhaps they really can't get out of their house. And so they're not, maybe they have a desire to, but maybe just can't. And so we have to go to them. So what other community support service do you think is needed that maybe doesn't exist now?
You know, I think we need to focus more on social. You know, if there is some way, like you say, if someone cannot leave their home because of a chronic illness and they're immobile, wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, well, first off, that's why I started the Facebook group. So at least have some sort of connection, even if it's via technology and online. At least it gives them gives a person the ability to connect with another and say hello, even if it's a typewritten message. But if our communities, you know, and I have this vision of us all living together, even in intergenerational. When as a matter of fact, I attended the Facebook Summit, and I just envisioned Facebook Summit. We brought together several communities, our online groups, their Facebook groups, and we talked about how to support people in our communities. And what I loved about it is I connected with groups like military groups and groups that were that focused on children that are aging out of when they're out of adopt, you know, they out of orphanage and they're no longer taken care of, but they're aging out of the system, but yet they're alone. And I said, and I started having these visions of why can't we all connect, even if it's a military family that's been displaced or they've been moved to another community, they don't know anyone. Wouldn't it be great to have some sort of a community or some sort of a connection where we could connect one another? If it's an elderly person that doesn't have family with a military family that's away from their parents or their other loved ones. So that's how I envision that we could potentially solve this issue.
Yeah, not to bar an old saying, but it takes a village, right?
Yes, exactly. That's right.
So why don't you tell our viewers a little bit more about the Elder Orphan Facebook group and how they can join?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just go to Facebook, search online for Elder Orphans, and search in the search bar on Facebook, and we'll pop up. We're the one of the larger Elder Orphan Facebook groups. We're now close to 5,000 members. I'm pretty strict on who is allowed. I do quite a bit of scrutiny on accepting membership. So there are a couple of questions that I have in place that you have to answer, but I certainly, you know, hope that if you find yourself in the situation, if you're 50 or 55 and over, even if you do have children, but they live at a distance and you're absolutely, you know, you have no partner or spouse, you know, please join us. We have some really lively conversations on some of the deepest issues that we face, around depression, around being isolated, and even around chronic illnesses. And we also have some really enjoyable conversations too. And we have a lot of fun. And it certainly doesn't take the place of family, of face-to-face meetings. But I can tell you what, I have seen people blossom in the group just because it's like, finally, I have a place to come where someone understands me and I'm not alone. You folks are in the same boat I'm in. So I invite you to join the Elder Orphan Facebook group. Thank you, Anthony.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a great service you're doing. Wow, that's an amazing number of people you have signed up. So have you had like innovative solutions arise from the group from hearing somebody's story about how they, you know, solve the socialization problem or depression or anything like that?
Well, no, not yet. But I can tell you that with my Dallas group, we're meeting face to face. And I'm taking a lot of these issues, or I should say we're taking a lot of these issues. And we're creating ways to, for example, one of the members, and certainly a lot of members on the Elder Orphan page, but a person here in Dallas just had knee surgery. And she has no family and no one to help her. So she created this plan for herself. So she's going to share it with us. And that's one thing that we are starting. You know, that's one thing that we can do together. We will also create ways in the community, you know, to reach out to community services. And so, you know, we're just starting out right now to do it in a smaller, well, offline and in a city. But I think as we move forward, we'll have some pretty incredible solutions in place. That's our goal.
Right. That's awesome. So I think our viewers on the takeaway is if somebody is aging alone or knows they're going to be aging alone, it's about kind of your physical and emotional health, and also the physical space that you age in. And then there's a message to the community members that there are going to be lots of people like this in your own community who you need to step up and look in into and take care of as you can. And that this is also an intergenerational thing. We're seeing more of that even in assisted living or, you know, organizations where they'll give somebody free room and board, a young person, and in exchange for, I don't know, doing entertainment or something like that.
Absolutely. Or driving or cooking or
exactly.
shopping. Right? You know, I mean, yeah. I think that's really out of the box thinking. We're starting to consider some of those ways. I mean, like with the birth of Airbnb, I mean, we're starting to kind of think outside the box of how we can all live and share.
Yeah.
Our spaces.
Yeah. One of our summit experts is the CEO of Silvernest, which is a home matching service. So that should be an interesting conversation as well. Well, Carol, you gave us a lot to think about and called attention to a niche that not a lot of us are thinking about. So I thank you for that. And I thank you for being part of the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you, Anthony. And thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it very much. And family caregivers, you know, my heart goes to you. So take care of yourselves. You are as important as your aging loved one. So treat yourself well.
Good advice. Thanks, Carol.
Thank you, Anthony.